So the subtitle for tonight's message is Seeking God's Grace. Seeking God's Grace. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 4. How do I submit to the sanctification process? How do I allow God to clean me up on the inside? I must embrace God's grace. I have to want it. But after I want it, then I have to seek it. What do we mean by seeking God's grace? It simply means I must ask. That's it. I must ask. I must ask for God to sanctify me with His grace. Now, that's so simple. And yet, it's something that we struggle to do. It is so simple to ask God to sanctify you, and yet we often neglect to do it. So that's the question. Do you ask God to sanctify you with His grace? Do you ask Him to clean you up on the inside? Do you ask Him to help you in your areas of weakness? Do you ask Him? Now, there are three things we need to understand if we are going to ask for God's grace in our life. Those three things are our three points for this evening. I will ask for God's sanctifying grace when I understand that, point number one, I am not perfect. I will ask for God's sanctifying grace when I understand that I am not perfect. Make sure you put the not in there. See, one of the reasons we don't ask for God to sanctify us is that we don't think we need to be sanctified. We don't. We are spiritually self-satisfied. Spiritually self-satisfied. And it is because we see ourselves oftentimes in an incorrect light. We don't see ourselves correctly. And because of that, we become spiritually complacent. We are just content, just happy, happy to be me. Because we mistake being an experienced Christian with being fully mature. Now, you've heard me talk about those two things before. We are experienced, but are we mature? See, we know our way around the church. But just because I've been around the church for a long time, it does not mean that I look and act like Jesus Christ. See, we know a lot of songs. We've all learned how to put some prayers together. We learn when to say praise the Lord. We learn when to say hallelujah and raise our hand. We learn when to sway. Thank you, Lord. We've learned how to do all of those things. We've learned how to get things done around the church. But that means that I'm experienced. But am I mature? Have I been grown up in love? Have I exhibited unconditional love to my brothers and sisters in Christ? Am I mature or am I just experienced? Is my character becoming more and more like Jesus Christ over time? Is my conduct becoming more like Jesus over time? Am I being sanctified? Am I willing to admit that I'm not perfect? Church, we have to know and understand that we all have room to grow. Every single one of us, we have room to grow. We are not perfect. And see, the longer that you are a Christian, the harder it is to accept the fact that there's room to grow. Because we compare ourselves to the wrong things. Or we compare ourselves. We compare ourselves to our family. Lord, you know my family, they just a mess. They just a hot mess. And because we feel like we are so much better than them, we're complacent. We compare ourselves to other people in the church. Now, not just anyone. We don't compare ourselves to someone we think is a super saint. We compare ourselves to the person we think act ugly in church. Lord, I just don't know why they act the way they do. Lord, I'm just going to have to pray for them because they just, I just don't understand. We compare ourselves to people we think are acting less than us in church. But see, this is something that we don't realize, that while we are complaining about someone in church, somebody else in church is complaining about us. Amen. Everyone's like, well, who complaining? Who's complaining about me? Who's complaining about me? Prayerfully, nobody. While we are complaining about other people in church, other people are complaining about us. Amen. See, it's easy for us to compare ourselves to others we think are worse behaving. But are we comparing ourselves to the right thing? Are we comparing ourselves to Jesus? Jesus is our standard. We learned all last year that he is our representative man, that he is our example. And that means that my life should be patterned after his example. My life is not patterned after my own example. My life is not patterned after what I think I should be. It should be patterned after Jesus Christ. He is the standard against which I must measure myself. Amen. We forget that for the rest of our lives, we are supposed to strive to be more and more like him. Church, I have to understand that I'm not perfect. Amen. And when I take my focus off of other people, and I take my focus off of what other people are or are not doing, and I put my focus on Jesus, then I realize, God, there's some things that still need to be worked out on the inside of me. Amen. And I begin to seek his sanctifying grace. I will ask for God's sanctifying grace when I understand that I am not perfect. And then I will seek God's sanctifying grace when I understand, point number two, that I need help. I need to understand that I need help. Amen. Do you know that God's grace is available for your weaknesses? Do you know that? That his grace is available for your weaknesses. In other words, it is not God's will that you keep struggling with the same things. That's not his will. God wants you to get off the merry-go-round and have a superior quality of life. Isn't that what we just read in Titus chapter 2? God wants us to have an abundant life. Now, if I know that, why then am I constantly being done in by the same weaknesses? Am I asking for God's grace? See, we ask God for forgiveness when we fail. But do I ask God to keep me from failing? Do I pray each day, God, keep me from failing you on today? Let's look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we're going to read the first five verses of Scripture. Now, I've warned you all before, whenever I go to James, it gets a little rough. James was a little direct, but it's okay. He said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Let's stop right here. James is saying to these Christians, these believers, he's letting them know you all aren't perfect. You have some strife and some discord going on among you. And he lets them know the strife and the discord that's coming from among you, it's not because you're trying to please God, it's because of your flesh. That's really what he's saying. It comes because of your flesh. See, oftentimes we try to say we have strife and we have discord. I just want to please God. I'm just trying to do the very best I can. I just care about my church and this is just touching my heart. But James says, no, the issue is your flesh. You are struggling with your flesh. You want what you want and you want what other people have. So you all are fighting with each other. And then he says, and then you lack for two reasons. He said, first of all, you don't ask God for what you need because you're too busy fighting. You don't ask God for what you need because you're too busy going back and forth. And then he said, well, when you do ask God, you don't receive because you ask him for selfish motives. Amen. You're not really asking to fulfill the will of God. Then he goes on, he says, you adulterers and adulteresses, when you chase the world, this is what he's saying. When you chase the world, you are unfaithful to God. That's why he says you're like an adulterer or an adulteress. You are not faithful to God. Don't you know and understand that if you are going to be a friend of the world, you are God's enemy? Don't you realize that you cannot love God and be friends with the world? And then he goes on to say, and don't you realize that God's spirit on the inside of you longs over you? Yeah. That the Holy Ghost on the inside of you wants you to be faithful to God. Yeah. He is jealous over you. He wants you all to himself. Why? Because God loves you and he wants to give you a good life, an abundant life, but he can't have that relationship with you because you're tipping out on him with the world. Don't you realize that God loves you? Now, when you read these first five verses, what a hopeless situation it seems like. He's saying, y'all fighting with each other. You're running after the world. It's hopeless. Evil tendencies within, temptation without, but there is good news. Let's read verse 6. He says, but he giveth more grace. Amen. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Amen. That's the good news. Amen. Despite everything that's coming all around you, despite everything that's going on, despite all of the evil tendencies that you struggle with, despite all the temptations that all are around you, God gives more and more grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he will give you sufficient grace to meet every single evil tendency that's on the inside of you. Amen. He'll give you grace to meet every single temptation that presses up against you. Amen. He will do it over and over. He will give grace continually, but not just anyone. He says he'll give it to those who are humble enough to receive it. Amen. Amen. I have to know I need help. Church, we have to be humble to receive the grace of God because we have evil tendencies within and temptations without and people getting on your nerves and pressing your buttons and all of this stuff is going on. How can I live a godly Christian life every single day? It is through the grace of God because he gives more and more grace. In other words, God has not left you to fight alone. Promises to give you grace continually, but we must humble ourselves, acknowledge that we have a need, seek the help that we need and seek it.